The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey guys, welcome back to We Met at Acne. I'm so excited for today's episode with Jake. It was so fun recording. He's in Australia, so the timing was hilarious. It was at like almost like 10 p.m. my time. It's just crazy that they're just like living a day ahead of us and we are just living in the past over here. Anyway, I'm going to play some of your questions, your voice questions, and then we will get into the episode. So let's start them off.
Quick question. So for those of us who are a little bit more anxious or anxiously attached, how do you distinguish when you should reach out to your partner and ask or give positive reinforcement for a little bit more reassurance versus kind of working on yourself and finding that reassurance? Obviously, we should always be working on ourselves and our partner should give us a fair amount of reassurance and affirmation. But when do you distinguish when to ask for a little bit more versus it should be something that at this point you should be able to give yourself?
This is such a good question. And I feel like my answer is going to be a little controversial, which is that I don't think, even if you're anxiously attached, I think when you're with someone who is securely attached, they give you that affirmation. You don't really need to ask for it. And of course, there are times when you could say something like, you know, when you tell me I look great in this outfit or I was such an incredible girlfriend this week or whatever, you know, it makes me happy. Like you could say something like that here and there. But if you feel like you have to have like a sit down conversation with your partner to know that they still really love you, then they are not doing a good enough job as a partner to show that to you. I truly believe that. And I know we see these TikToks all the time joking, like me asking my boyfriend for the 15th time if he still loves me. And that's funny. And of course, there's humor in that. But if you really, really did that, then I would think that that was a red flag because your partner should be showing you that. If they're not someone who is vocal about it, they should be showing you that all the time. So I would say you shouldn't be asking your partner something like that more than, you know, once a month. And the other times, if you feel like it really is coming from you and, you know, you're not being like made to feel this way by the person that you're with, then I do think it's important to do the work and to, you know, separate the facts from the feelings. And like, what's the fact? They're your boyfriend. They like you. They love you. They make future plans with you. Of course, they want to be with you, right? Otherwise, they wouldn't be. But if they're like pulling back and they're never complimenting you, that's a totally different story. So if the facts are in line, then you shouldn't have to ask more than once a month, I would say. Okay, next one.
Hi, Lindsay. Thank you so much for your podcast. I love listening every week. I have a question for you that isn't a relationship question, but hopefully you can help. One of my good friends lost their fiance over the weekend. He died unexpectedly, really suddenly. And me and the rest of my friends, of course, want to do everything that we can to support her and be there for her. But none of us have really been through something like this before. So we're just kind of struggling to figure out what we can do to best support her and be a good friend. They were supposed to get married in about 3 months and we were planning her bachelorette party and all of that kind of standard stuff. So would love to hear your thoughts and just any advice you have of what we can do to be there for our friend. Thank you.
Ooh, I just got full body chills. This is horrible. And I am so, so sorry for your friend and for her fiance and his family and anyone else that was affected by this. This is so heartbreaking and so sweet of you to try to be there for her. She's very lucky to have a friend like you. If I were in this position and this were my friend, and especially as you were planning her bachelorette, I would kind of take her temperature on if she would still be open to going on a girls' trip. And obviously it's going to be a different kind of trip. It's going to be really sad and she's going through insane grief, but I think it's important to be there for her and to hold space for her to feel whatever she's feeling. and continue to remind her that you are there for her. I have a friend who recently lost someone close to her, and it really affected not just her, but all of us as well in wanting to be there for her. And we have been doing these weekly meetings where we talk to her and listen to her. And like, we're all on Zoom, and it's honestly, it sounds kind of cheesy and weird, but it's been so great. And we kind of all just like talk about things that are going on in our lives, and we make her feel like she's able to share as well. And so I think just showing her that like, no, nothing big or small, like nothing is too much for you to carry. You know what I'm saying? Like none of her grief, like you are always going to be there for her, and kind of everyone individually telling her that. But that's really hard. And I'm so sorry for your friend.
Hey, Lindsay, I'm hoping you can talk a little bit about guys being fickle or changing their minds kind of abruptly and surprisingly. Specifically, I'd had like the best date of my life 2 weeks ago, amazing chemistry. Guy was clearly very, very into me, like completely facing me on bar stools, et cetera, enthusiastically set up a date, you know, like a day and a half later, texted all week. Then 5 days later, on the day of the second date, texted me and said, something doesn't seem to be clicking for him. Didn't want to waste my time. And I'm just like, what happened? Like, why do guys act so into you and be like very into you one day and for a couple days and then just abruptly change their mind or behavior?
Oh, I hate that. And I've personally experienced that too, where you're like, I know you had a good time. Why are you pretending that you didn't feel a connection? I know there was a connection there, and I'm not delusional. And so I hear you, girl. I think that there's a few different reasons this can happen. One is like, maybe through the texting, he learned something about you that he didn't vibe with. And that, by the way, has nothing to do with you. You did nothing wrong. You were just being yourself. And he did you a favor in telling you this, because if he's not gonna, you know, jive with something about you, better that you know it now. I think another reason is that maybe he was seeing someone else and he was like doing the comparison game, and that other person was more of a match for him. And I think the third and like kind of most depressing one is like, some people are just really good actors on dates, and they've just gotten really good at dating, and they are really good at making it seem like they're having a good time when they're not. And you could look at that as sad, but it's also what we have to do. Like if we're single for a while, like I remember when I was single for a while, I got like that at a certain point, right? And I just felt like I had to be acting like I was vibing with the person for the date to go on. So that's why you really don't know, and you can't even assume, like, even if you have this amazing great date in the future, leave and be like, that was good, but like, we'll see what happens. Not, you know, I know that's my person. I know he is into me, because you just never fucking know. And it's really, really hard. And I've been there and it sucks, but you just never know. So you got to keep your expectations like on the floor for those dates, especially the ones that you have the most fun on, because annoyingly, those end up crashing and burning. And I wish I could tell you why. We are having Jesse Solomon from Summer House on the podcast soon, and I feel like he's going to be a good person to talk to about this, because I could see him making someone on a date feel like he's like really vibing with that person. Okay, next one is short.
What happens, or what would you suggest someone do if they are talking to somebody that somebody asks them on a date and then you find out that they are married, especially married with children? Do you suggest they say something or not? From the other side of things, as a woman, as a wife, would you want to know if your husband was fooling around?
I, of course, would want to know. I mean, I want to know everything. I talk about this all the time. I want to know what he eats for lunch every day. I would want to know. And so I think the problem here is that now people have open relationships, and that's more common. I still might probably reach out if I were you, and because I'm just such a girl's girl in that way, that, and I have done this before, that I would just be like, hey, here's this information. I was talking to your, you know, the person that you're married to, here's a screenshot, do whatever you want with this information. And I don't know if you have this kind of arrangement, but I wanted to give you the opportunity to see this and decide what you want. Whatever you decide to do, I will never judge you, you know, sincerely, a girl's girl or whatever it is. I think it's really important to share that information with another woman, just woman to woman. That's how I operate. And I feel like you have to think about, because there's no other way to do it, right? Would you want to know? And if you would want to know, you tell her. And if you wouldn't want to know, maybe you don't tell her. But that's always like a 50-50 thing whenever we do polls about that. Anyway, I'm so excited for you to hear Jake, and I can't wait to hear your thoughts. First and foremost, a major shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples, because guys, this is the worst allergy season that I've ever experienced. I can't even, like, you can hear it in my nose right now. I swear my allergies are throwing me so off, because I'm like, am I sick or is this allergies? Like, what is going on? And I realize that this happens to me a lot during allergy season, but it's even worse right now. It's truly out of control, and I don't know what I would do without Astapro. If you don't know or haven't tried Astapro, Astapro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours, and we don't have time for that. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. They deliver full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny, itchy nose, and sneezing. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so that you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Trust me, you're gonna be so glad. And it's faster, bro. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Hey, friend. I'm Nicole Walters, mom of three, your internet bestie, and founder of Inherent Learning Company. If you're looking for the motivation you need to pursue a life of purpose, then join me each week on the Nicole Walters podcast as I share my hard-learned lessons and answer your DMs about life, business, and everything in between. We'll laugh, we'll cry, and we'll grant ourselves grace as we do life together. Check out the Nicole Walters podcast every Tuesday here on Dear Media. You can listen anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Hey guys, welcome back to We Met at Acme. I'm so excited to be here with relationship coach Jake Maddock. Hey, Jake.
Hey, my friend. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, 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 good.
Love it. So
thanks so much for having me.
Oh my God, of course. Thanks for coming. I'm very excited to chat. And before we get into it, what is your favorite romantic gesture?
Oh, that's a good question. That's really good. Probably, so I've taken my wife on a lot of dates over the years. Probably the best romantic one, there's a couple tied actually. So one romantic gesture, which I love, there's a cute little gondola ride thing on the Gold Coast in Australia. And they put you in a little gondola, like those Italian type gondolas, and they have all these beautiful picnic stuff and champagne, and they go through all the canal systems. It's really romantic. And this past Valentine's Day was pretty good. So I spent tons of money and I filled up this room with roses and balloons and everything. It was pretty cool. So those two are probably.
I love that. What about something that someone has done for you that's a nice gesture?
This last Valentine's Day, my wife did a great job. I'm a big fan of cake. I like cake. So she made this fancy cake, which was cool. She's always really good with gifts and balloons and all that sort of cool stuff.
I love it. How did you and your wife meet?
We met on Tinder many years ago. Yeah.
Oh, who had the first opening line and what was it?
Well, I had the first opening line. What I teach people is to start with a curiosity question, I call it. So it's a question which breeds curiosity within the reader. My curiosity question at the time was, if you could have two superpowers, what would they be?
And what was the answer?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
It's been many years.
What would your answer be?
I can't remember what mine was. I had this whole thing thought out. It was very thoroughly thought out, designed. Well, I love a good
power.
what I teach with curiosity questions, I got some great curiosity questions. One of my another favorites is, if you could go on any road trip, if you went on a road trip and you could pick one song, what would the song be?
I love that. That reminds me of a podcast that I like called Desert Island Discs. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but like they bring the guests on a desert island and they get to choose the soundtrack on this desert island. And it's like all they have. But going back to your superhero question, someone once told me that if you choose being invisible, so like, let's say you choose to fly and let's say you choose to be invisible, like I choose to fly and you choose to be invisible. If I choose to fly, then it means I'm more extroverted. And if you choose to be invisible, it means you're more introverted.
Makes sense. Yeah. I would much rather fly than be invisible.
Oh, me too. Like 100%. But
being invisible feels a bit schemey.
It's kind of creepy.
Why do you want to be invisible? Are you being a creep or something?
Right. And it's also like, what you shouldn't be hearing now is probably none of your business to be hearing.
Exactly. Like, why are you doing something underhanded?
Right. Exactly. So how long have you guys now been married?
We met in 2018. Mm-hmm. So yeah, 20th of October, 2018. That wasn't our wedding day. Our wedding day was the 20th of May. Yeah.
Wait, you got married the same year that you met?
No.
Oh, okay.
A few years later, great wedding day. Huge fan. I know it's off topic, but a lot of people ask me all the time, should we elope or should we get married? I strongly recommend do a big wedding. My wedding was a decent size, but if I knew it was going to be that good, I would do it even bigger again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone wants to elope. It kind of feels like someone going, well, I'm not going to have a birthday party because no one likes me. So I'm just going to stay home by myself. It's like, what are you doing? Weddings are fantastic. Invite all your family and your friends, have a band, do it up. Like you might only have one.
I agree. I mean, hopefully you only have one.
Yeah, not five.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. And what would you say was like one of, if not the reason that you knew that your wife was the one when you guys met?
Yeah, good question. So one of the things I teach, when you meet your ideal partner, there's a beautiful mix of chemistry, compatibility, X factor, and they can do the job. So as soon as we met, incredible chemistry. Just, you can just feel it. You just rip each other's clothes off. Really good compatibility too. So you can just talk every day, just all the time. Just really good. Just you're on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
And you have X factors a little bit tricky to describe. And so it's kind of like fairy dust in the air or like magic. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's hard to describe. It's like something in your soul saying, hey, you got to be with this person. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I feel like they're like in looking for a partner, for me, I felt like it was hard to find this like perfect balance of confident, but also not like full of themselves, you know? And I felt like I found that in my husband, but I mean, it definitely was a journey for sure. It's a big journey. And the X factor is a very real thing. I've never heard of it described as the X factor, but it's true. There is something. I wouldn't say it's like they necessarily have an X factor to the world, but to each other, you have that.
100%. If anyone's listening who's single right now, you're going to meet people who they tick every box. There's good chemistry, compatibility, but something's missing, but you don't really know what it is. Then other people, they don't tick every box. They tick most boxes, but the X factor, something telling you that you must be with that person. And the other thing I wanted to say as well, Lindsay, the before how you're looking for that mix of confidence, but humble, but not arrogant, that beautiful mix is what I would kind of describe as a Santa Claus thing. So I always picture Santa Claus in the movies as someone who's confident, but also very humble. There's no arrogance there, very reliable, solid character. Look for the same sort of thing in a guy. He's not flashy, but he's very confident, but he's also very humble. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. What do you say to, because there's a lot of dating advice out there that's bad. There's a lot of dating coaches out there saying things like, you shouldn't care if there's a spark. The connection doesn't matter. It's more about, you know, if they'd be a good partner and a good parent and a good this, but like, don't expect to have chemistry right away. Like it can be like, you know, it can evolve over time, whatever. And I hear that and I'm like, no way. But I want to hear what you think about that.
Yeah, that's crazy. Some people I've even heard describing that spark as a negative thing, like, well, you're probably just really anxious and it's probably a red flag. You're like, maybe you're overthinking it, but that spark is really important. You should definitely want to rip each other's clothes off. That chemistry needs to be really strong. If you want a really long-term, very healthy, romantic type relationship, let's start off really high, really good chemistry, really good, really, really strong attraction at the start. Because when you start throwing other things in the mix, work and kids and all this other stuff, you got lots of things which can deteriorate that. So if you're only starting down here, you've got nowhere to go as well. So starting with that really strong chemistry, very important.
Yeah, so such a good point about like starting off with that because it's only going to get harder. Like that foundation that you start with has to be so strong because you're going to throw so many things in, like marriage, you know, if you want kids, kids, like you're going to be going through like, you know, your family member being sick, moving, this, that. And if you're still like building to a place where you have a strong foundation and those things are thrown at you, like you're just going to crumble.
Yeah, building the foundation of a 10 out of 10 is really important.
Yeah. What do you think that women don't really know about men that you try to teach or coach, or maybe that is in your book, which is about having like a 10 out of 10 relationship?
Yeah, the main problem I see, the main thing a lot of women get wrong is they talk to men like the man is a woman, which and then the woman stands back and goes, this guy's not listening to me. When I do tell him to do something, he gets really offended and criticized. And it's like they're talking two different languages. One of the things I teach women a lot is how to communicate to a guy so he understands what you're saying, but also wants to do what you want us, what you want. Okay. And that's a huge mistake a lot of women make. So standard communication a lot of women do is too vague, it's too large, it's not specific, and it doesn't make any sense. So, for example, I'll give a very common sentence. I'm married. A wife might say to a husband, he might say, hey, do you need any help around the house, honey? Do you want me to do anything? And she might say, well, if you see anything that needs to be done, just do that. That'd be awesome. So he goes, well, it looks great. I might go and sit down and watch.
Exactly.
Okay. So that's an example of a very vague sentence, which you will be disappointed because the woman didn't manage expectations, didn't tell him what she wants. Instead, it would be a much better sentence if she touched him on the shoulder and said, I would love if you took the garbage out, honey. That would help me a lot. Thank you. Thanks heaps. Then you say, oh yeah, sure. Easy. And he'd go and do it. Done. Easy. Easy peasy. Really specific, good feminine sentence structure. And you're talking to a guy in a way that he understands.
Yeah, I'm so with you. I always talk about setting your partner up to win. And usually I mean a man. You know, we love this like rom-com thing of letting like a man should read our mind and like they should know that I've had a bad day and have a hot soup ready when I get home. And it's like, you know, if you really actually want that, it's so easy. You text your partner and you say, "Hey, Jake, I'm having a shitty day. It would make me so happy if I came home and there was soup." And then guess what? You come home, your partner wins because they did what you wanted, and you get what you wanted. And you're not building this resentment like he should just know that I have had this. And we slip up all the time. Like I'm not perfect with this either. Like I just had a situation recently because we're new parents. And obviously, just like as the woman, I'm getting much less sleep than my husband naturally because I'm also breastfeeding and it's a whole thing. And like, I have to stop myself from letting my husband sleep in and then getting mad that he's slept instead of like waking him up and being like, we need your help. Like, can you know, be up to do this thing? But it's so hard because it's like almost like tempting to like let him not win, but you have to like tell your mind, no, just let him win, tell him what to do, and he'll do it, and then it'll be fine.
That's right. The key is giving yourself those affirmations. So tell them what you want. Also, double down with what are you grateful for about your partner as well? Yeah. And how good is having that? He's my friend.
Oh my God, it's wild. Do you guys have kids?
Yeah. Little Ryan is about 1.5. I love having kids. I'm almost made. I love it.
How would you say it's changed your marriage if it has?
Probably gotten better, more depth to it. Yeah. I think if you have a 10 out of 10 relationship and you know what you're doing with relationships and have a baby and you've already built the foundation, it will only make it better. My advice to people out there, get married before you have a baby, not because anything about marriage, but if you wait till you get married, you build the foundation of a 10 out of 10, you have enough time together, you set yourself up really well for a good couple of years, and then you have a baby, so you're set up really well. Yeah.
What would you say now, being on the other side and like having an over 1 year old, are some questions that you and your wife, you know, or you and your partner, to whoever's listening, should answer before you have kids?
So you want to make sure that your goals are aligned. Okay. Make sure that you actually have a 10 out of 10 and make sure that you want to be together forever properly. Okay. So if you argue about money a lot, it's not a good, you're not in a good place to have a baby. You'll be on the right page. Okay. It's also good.
Babies are expensive.
They can be 100%. You got to set yourself up for success in all ways. But then at the same time, you're never going to be 100% ready for a baby anyway. So do you do the best you can and then go, well, now it's time to jump in and see how we go, and you'll be just fine.
Yeah. You mentioned like a woman asking something in a feminine way. Do you have thoughts on how women can like lean into their feminine a little bit more? I get this question a lot, and I'm just curious from the male perspective.
Yeah, 100%. So there's a whole bunch of things. So to explain it really simply, there's four basic traits of feminine energy and four basic traits of masculine energy, and also have the four P's. So the four basic traits of feminine energy are nurturing, caring, supportive, and joyous. The four basic traits of masculine energy are leadership, ambition, decisiveness, and protection, okay? Then for feminine energy, you also have the four P's, which is you want to be as pretty, as patient, as present, and positive as you can. So you also have the four P's. I ran through that pretty fast, but anyone who's listening, just rewind it, write it down, and then try to practice those things the best you can. And another little tip, if you're really having trouble getting your feminine energy, do things which fill your cup up so then you can give more femininity. So try to fill your femininity cup up. So the best way to do that usually is go for a walk in nature, go to the beach, look after yourself, maybe go to Pilates or yoga or something, or do an ice bath, or do something. Like, you really got to put yourself first, okay? One thing a lot of mothers and women in general get wrong is they give someone eight bad hours instead of one good hour, okay?
Mm.
You're better off giving people less time and making sure that time is really, really amazing than eight shitty hours. It's a very, very common thing.
That's really interesting. Do you think that there's any need for a man to tap into his feminine side?
Yeah, a little bit. So it's a little bit complicated, but the way I would describe it is more of maybe an 80-20 rule. Okay, so a man should be masculine about 80% of the time, and a woman and is feminine 20% of the time. It's the same for women. So woman 80% feminine, 20% masculine. Okay. So a man may step into his nurturing, caring, supportive, joyous energy sometimes. That's okay. If you're a couple watching this, the only thing I want you to try to remember is I want the man to be more masculine and I want the woman to be more feminine. And other than that, the levels can go up and down a bit as long as you keep it on the same thing. And again, it's, as you said, it's a kind of a habitual practice. You got to keep practicing. Even sometimes I feel myself slipping out of it. You're like, you got to practice. It's a lifetime type thing based on how confident you feel on the day.
But don't you think that certain women might need more feminine or more masculine? Like, it's not a one size fits all, or do you think everyone should have the same amount of 80-20?
Aim for 80-20 because everyone's going to embody it differently anyway. Mm-hmm. Okay. So one woman who's her 80-20 may seem like 160%. Okay. So don't stress too much about trying to do it properly. If you're a woman watching this, your goal, just try to be as feminine as you can, okay? And you'll naturally embody just a good level of it just naturally. You don't want to overthink it. It's because feminine energy is more of a being energy and not a doing energy. So you got to try to just, that's why the four P's are good: the pretty, the positive, the present, and the patient, okay? That patient one, a lot of women get wrong as well. So feminine energy is patient, okay? It's not active, going forward, focused. It's more patient. That's why that's a very good mothering energy as well, very patient.
That's so interesting because I am very patient with my son and I definitely am not patient with my husband the same way. And it's interesting to hear those four P's because I kind of want to go over them. And if you can give an example of like a practical example of like, you know, when a man is stressed about work, do X, Y, and Z to show your feminine energy, you know?
Perfect. Great question. This is a really, really good one. So if a man is stressed from work, you got to think, okay, what's my job here in my feminine energy? Is my job to give him a shoulder to cry on? Or is it my job to make him stronger and more successful so he's a better leader in the family? Your job is somewhat of a cheerleader. So if he does have a stress day from work, don't give him a shoulder to cry on. He's not a baby. The exact sentence that I want you to say he comes on, oh, my boss is this, I've had a bad day, I lost this, blah, 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 real whinging about it. Just go, okay, so what are you going to do about it? That's the sentence I want you to say. Okay, to push him into his decisive leadership, decision-making focused energy. Don't go, oh, it's okay, honey. Yeah, everything sucks. No, no. What are you going to do about it? That's the correct sentence to say. Okay. Now, as far as the four P's are concerned, these are somewhat emotional, Lindsay. So for example, the first one, pretty.
Yeah, because I hear pretty and I'm like, are you saying that we need to look pretty all the time? That's how I interpret that.
No, you need to feel pretty. Okay. How you look, you could probably look terrible and your husband will still think you're absolutely gorgeous because he's in love with you. So don't worry about so much about how it looks. What could you do today to make you feel pretty? Maybe a pedicure, maybe go for a walk, maybe something. You know what I mean? Yeah. Do something that makes you feel pretty. Okay. So it's more based on a feeling. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it definitely does. Like it's like do self-care almost.
Exactly. Exactly what it is. So then you also have present. So what do you think you could do tonight to be really present with your husband?
Easy. Put away my phone when we're hanging out.
Easy. 100%. Mm-hmm. What could you do to be positive today?
I could give him a compliment.
Yeah. 100%. Mm-hmm. And give yourself a compliment.
Mm.
Yeah. Which is what we'd call basically an affirmation. Mm-hmm. I'm doing great. Achieved so much. I look good. I'm very grateful for the body I have. Just some basic affirmations or gratitude. Yeah,
actually, to stay on that one for a second, I find that it's a really good practice to compliment yourself when you're with your male partner. Because I think that so many women, you know, we lean towards like the being critical of ourselves. Like that's just like that is what women do, is we criticize ourselves. And I feel like sometimes when I'm feeling most critical of myself, and instead of criticizing myself, I give myself like a compliment in front of my husband, it is so effective because like he thinks that I'm really confident in that moment. And then I just like convince myself of the thing that I just said, even if I don't really feel it.
Very, very important. It's a good way to get dual reassurance. And I also call this pushing reassurance instead of pulling it. So which one sounds better? Do you think I look pretty? Or no, you could say, do you think we're good together? Or we're such a great couple. We're so fantastic together. We have such a good, strong 10 out of 10. We're such a great team. Hey.
Yeah.
See, the second one is pushing reassurance. And the first one is that pulling needy. So if you can try to push reassurance on your partner all the time, very effective.
But even your pretty example could work. Instead of saying, do you think I look pretty? You could be like, I look really good tonight, don't I? And then they'll be like, yeah, you do, babe. You know, instead of having to like hold your hand and be like, you look good, don't worry, you know?
It's much more effective and much more attractive too. So if you, one of my sayings is sexy mind, sexy body, okay? If you're 10 kilos overweight, but you really work it and you can really sexy up here, that's actually way more attractive than if you're like have a really nice body, but you're really nervous and lack confidence. That's not sexy. Sexy mind, sexy body.
I love that phrase. I'm going to quote you on that. And then what was the last P?
So we have pretty, patient, positive, present. Which one didn't we do? Patient. Yeah. So what could you do to be patient with a friend tomorrow?
To be patient with a friend
I'm sure you have friends which aren't on your level. Like they have a lot of potential, but maybe they're not fulfilling it. Mm-hmm. What could you do to be patient with that friend?
I could talk to them about, you know, their goals and where they want to be and how we can, you know, what I can do to help make introductions to people who could help with those goals, like something like that.
Perfect. The way I like to handle that one is a little bit of reassurance and a lot of gratitude, okay? Because in a friendship type stance, we're not their coach, we're more of a friend. So you go, you should definitely go after that goal. You're doing so well already. And then a lot of gratitude as well, because we've got a friendship with them, so we can't be too harsh. But that's a great example of being patient.
But what's interesting is your example of leaning into your feminine. If the guy comes home, he's stressed and you're like, what are you going to do about it? That to me sounds like the opposite of being patient. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that in that particular circumstance, I would say that you're being aggressively patient. So being aggressively going after the goal of you want your husband to be successful, but you're being patient with the results aggressively, which is very important. So women, I wouldn't be 10% as successful as I am now without my wife. If you're a very smart feminine woman, you can make your husband 10 times more successful, but you've got to push him just the right way.
I agree with that. You have to push. I am going to ask you a few of the questions that were submitted by my listeners.
Awesome.
Someone said, why do guys hold in how they're really feeling?
That's a hard question because there's a lot to that. Some guys aren't very good at communicating. Sometimes they'll feel like if they tell you that they love you, it won't be reciprocated. So usually what I recommend when you're dating someone around that 8-week mark, it's a good time to say, I love you. If he feels it won't be reciprocated or feels like you don't really like him, he won't risk it. Okay. And then beyond that, if you're saying, I love you, and you're really putting a lot of positive stuff out there and he's still not sharing how he feels, he doesn't like you.
I 100% agree with.
So he might just like sleeping with you and he doesn't want to put a title on it and he just wants to keep things going the way they are. And maybe in the future, or he's afraid of getting hurt, or all these absolute rubbish sentences, he just doesn't like you that much.
Yeah, I think a lot of people need to hear that. This person asks, can a female tell their best guy friend that she has feelings for him, or should she wait to see if he ever tells her?
Oh my God. Oh boy. I suppose shoot your shot, I suppose, but at the same time, it's definitely the opposite of what I teach, okay? Mm-hmm. I teach if you're single, try to meet someone, okay? Whether it's online dating or at a cafe or who cares, be open to all possibilities, but meet someone, then go on a date and another date and another date and do the romantic courtship properly, okay? A lot of people, they do this backhanded thing where they try to meet someone, they become friends for a year, and then they decide to go on a date. And in these situations, they often have good compatibility, but the chemistry is too low. That's often what I see. And they're really becoming a relationship because of proximity and convenience, not out of actual whether they're your ideal partner or not. So overall, it's a mistake completely.
I agree. And I also think my advice to this person would be that you would probably know if your best guy friend had feelings for you by now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My also advice to that girl, don't have a best guy friend. Okay.
Elaborate. Usually,
the way guys think, it's usually not a super smart idea to have close guy friends.
Because they want to have sex with you?
Basically.
Yeah.
It's very controversial. Most people hate that sentence that I say. Lindsay, if you saw my messages, you would agree with me. Having friends of the opposite gender is usually a pretty bad idea. The amount of messages I get is absurd in dealing with this exact thing. It never works out. It always goes terribly. They lose the friendship. It all's bad. They've wasted years. It's a time-wasting adventure, and it's really bad. And I know it's controversial. I get it. You shouldn't be friends with people who you want to sleep with. It's backhanded.
And someone will always develop feelings. That I 100% agree with. I think there are rare exceptions to this, but never best friends, right? You could be friendly, but never best friends. But I say, and I'm curious what your thoughts are on this, Jake, but I think there's I think I came up with three exemptions from this where like you could be friends and it could work. If they date, like if they're dating your good friend, like because that's like a tangential friendship. Yeah. The other one is if like, this sounds bad, but like if you're extremely like unattracted to them or something like that, right?
If they're really ugly, yes, that is changing. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other one is like if you did sleep together years ago and like it, I know this one is racy, but if you did sleep together years ago and like there was just nothing and like there's literally like no sexual chemistry at all. And like, you've already gotten that out of your system. So you won't be thinking about that and they won't be thinking about that, but I don't know. You nodded your head. So tell me.
The only problem with that last one is what would your ideal partner think?
Right.
Your ideal partner would be like, dude, you're friends with someone you slept with. What the hell? I don't want that. A normal human would be jealous of that. And I say, if anything even slightly hinders a 10 out of 10, get rid of it. Yeah. Human beings, they gain feelings really quick, like monkeys. You put two human beings in a close proximity for long enough time, they often do. You see it all the time. Super pretty girl. I have heaps of friends who are guys. They're all so nice to me.
Yeah, no, they want to sleep with you. Mm-hmm. Yep. This person said, I'm seeing a guy who's very quiet on dates. How to not turbocharge chattiness and fill awkward silences?
Okay. So on a normal date, if a girl talks more, that's totally fine. That's pretty normal. Girls naturally talk more than guys usually. But if it's more than, say, 70-30, like if you're talking more than 70%, it's too much and there's probably a lack of compatibility. But also a proper high-value date has a fun activity. Now, that activity could be anything from axe throwing to mini putt-putt. It could be anything, right? And doing those fun activities should get him to talk more as well. But if you're really, really chatty and you talk, and some guys, you barely get two words out of them, it's probably a lack of compatibility. It should be a pretty good back and forth of conversation. It should be pretty reciprocal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. That makes sense. What would you say are the best ways to, this is so vague or like general, but someone asked the best ways to resolve conflict in a relationship.
That's right. It's a great question. There's a whole bunch of things you can do. So I can go through the hierarchy of communication. That'd probably make the most sense. So I've built this hierarchy of communication. The majority of your conversations should be in your feminine energy. I would love if you took me on a date this weekend. That would make me feel so special. 90% of your conversation is just going to be feminine type communication. Pretty friendly, flirting. I bet you love my butt in this. It looks amazing, doesn't it? Just flirty, feminine communication. And then you have soft boundaries, okay? I call soft boundary the mum look or the school teacher look, you know? I'm not very good at it. You know, when they look over their glasses, you know that look?
Yeah.
Like their face is saying, you want to rewind and try that one again without actually saying anything? That's a soft boundary. Mm-hmm. If you're really good at soft boundaries, that's the majority of your boundary setting. They throw a piece of rubbish on the ground instead of putting it in the bin. They go, oh, yeah, right. You don't need to say anything. Your face says it. Okay.
Right.
The caveat to that one is if you have a resting bitch face, you can't do soft boundaries because your face is a soft boundary all the time. So make sure you look happy so then you can take it away if they do something dumb. Okay. then you have a medium boundary. A medium boundary, say you're on a date with a guy, he says some stupid sexist joke, go, I don't like that. Hey, you seen that new Ghostbusters movie? And then you change the subject and change the emotion. Okay.
So but you say, you verbally say, I don't like that?
Correct, yeah. Mm-hmm. With your face and your body, okay? Mm. So we want to hit those 3 points of communication. I don't like that. No hint of joking, the furrowed brow, I don't like that. But then it's very important, within 5 seconds, you change the emotion and change the conversation. Some girls change the conversation, but they stay angry. Mm-hmm. And then what happens in the guy's mind, he starts defending himself. Oh, this girl's so sensitive. What's wrong with her? And that's a problem. So you got to do it fast, really quickly, and then change the subject so it's not a big deal. And then in his mind, he'll know not to do that again. That's a medium boundary. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you have a hard conversation. So a hard conversation doesn't necessarily always need to be hard, but it's always necessary. It might be about money, saving up for a holiday, how to parent, moving in together. It's just basically a serious conversation. Some basic rules to a serious conversation are No name calling, no yelling, no aggression, no walking away, staying patient, and a big one, use team words, okay? So use team words. Don't say stuff like, that's your child, that's my child. That's your money, that's my money. Don't say stuff like that, okay? This is how much we earn this much this month. This is what bills we have to pay. This is how much this holiday will cost us and we can save up for together. Use a lot of team words, okay? That's some rules to general conversation. And remember in a hard conversation, the triangle method being you and your partner and the relationship, you and your partner and the goal, you and your partner and the problem. Always do what's focused on the top of the triangle, not what's best for either people. Okay. So it takes the ego out of it. So when you have hurt feelings, you can ask yourself the question, I do this all the time, what's best for my relationship right now? Okay. If you think, oh, I feel disrespected, you know, I've got to do something about it, then there's a lot of ego in it and you're acting out of emotion. Instead, ask yourself, what's best for my relationship? And that'll often be a 20-second hug.
That's so true. I actually like tweeted or threaded the other day, there's a time and a place to be right, and it's never with your wife.
100%. I got another saying, never make your partner wrong. Okay. Women and men, they hate being wrong. Don't make your partner wrong. And it's, yeah, as you said, it's always better being happy than being right. I don't care about being right. I would much rather be happy than right.
Totally. Okay, we're going to do this really fun rapid fire poll question thing. So I'm just going to ask you questions and you'll just answer like one of these options. Would you rather date someone where you have really high highs and really low lows, or all is steady medium slash middle?
Well, probably the middle one, I suppose.
Yeah, but they're both not great. What's worse, your significant other saying shut up during a fight or swearing at you during a fight?
One of the things I teach is no arguing in a relationship ever. So one of the things I teach is you can disagree, but never argue. An argument is a disagreement that has aggression and disrespect in there, which has zero room in a relationship. So I'm real tough on this one. Early in the dating stage, guys, even on the first or second date, set that expectation with the new person you're dating. I don't argue ever. We can talk normally, but never argue.
I like that, but you have to choose shut up or swear.
Probably shut up.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel guilty after talking shit about someone? Yes or no? These are not always about dating.
Quite a rarity for me to talk behind someone's back if someone does something stupid. I guess not.
When's your birthday, really, by the way?
28th of February.
Oh, you're Pisces.
Yeah.
Love it. Okay. Boyfriend is pretty stingy and frugal. At first, I thought he was responsible with money, but now it feels excessive. Is that a red flag, deal breaker, or no big deal?
It can be a red flag. Yeah. So I've met quite a few very successful guys, like my dad, for example. You go out to lunch, he makes you pay. It's very depressing. It's not very fun. So yeah, you want to find a guy who's successful, but also generous. So it can be a red flag. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How often do you and a long-term significant other have sex? Every day, every couple of days, once a week, or every other week?
I teach 3 times a week. So try your best. Yeah. Some weeks you might only do it twice. Some weeks you may do it 4 times, but on average, try to do it 3 times a week. Okay. Mm. If you have kids and work and hobbies and lots of different things going on in your life, you got to plan it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that'd be a great success, 3 times a week after kids. If your boyfriend has started sending heart emojis for the first time, is the I love you coming soon? Yes or no?
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty close.
Is it normal to get nervous, cold feet right after getting engaged? Yes or no?
You may get a little bit of overthinking in there. Mm-hmm. Just give yourself some reassurance and tell yourself lots of reasons why you're grateful for your partner.
Yep. Okay. Last one. Do you feel like your friendship with your closest friend changed after they got married? Yes or no?
No, not really. I find after people get married, they usually become better people in a weird way.
If it's the right marriage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If it's a toxic marriage, yeah, they become worse. But usually, yeah, they usually become better people, more higher integrity, maybe.
Yeah, I agree with that, especially men.
So,
yeah. Thanks, Jay. Can you leave us with a quote or piece of advice?
Life is a reflection of what you allow, okay? So if you want a really fantastic life, only allow the good things.
That's awesome. Where can everyone find you, follow you, and read your book?
So guys, pretty much any social media, if you just type in Jake Maddock, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, whatever, I'm all over it. If you want a copy of my book, How to Achieve a 10 out of 10 Relationship, I love this book, Lindsay. My wife designed the cover. So
it's awesome.
I quite like it. I'm going to get her to design all my covers, to be honest. I can't. I'm not very good with this artsy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because you're not leaning into your feminine.
No, I'm good at writing the words. I can type all that. That was very easy. The link to the book's just on Amazon, but if you go to any of my social media, you can click the link and you can, the book's there.
Awesome. When is your wife's birthday, by the way?
It is the 24th of September.
Oh, very cool. She's a Libra.
Yeah.
Libras are the best.
Yeah, she's fantastic. Really great human being. People ask me all the time when I do a TikTok live or whatever, they say, are you a Leo? Are you a Aries? Are you? They always try to guess. They never guess Pisces. I don't know why. I don't know much about astrology, but they never guess Pisces.
Because I bet you don't have it in the rest of your chart. It's just your sun sign. I'll teach you about that next time.
Okay. Yeah, I need to know more about that. I don't know much.
Totally. Awesome. Thank you so much, Jake. This was so fun.
Great questions, my friend. I'm a big fan of your social media too. Really good.
Oh, thank you.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.